This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, a happy Monday, the October the 7th. Today, we got Monday Night Football in action. The Saints at Kansas City trying to knock off the Chiefs from Undefeatedsville. They've been 4-0 this season, and I know woulda, coulda, shoulda. The Saints could have as well.
Yeah, it's not an impressive 4-0. I hate to say it. I hate to be the one to say it, but some of these numbers, they just don't jump off the page. Now, the Chiefs, and this is something that we've heard from a bunch of reporters, they're a winning team.
Right.
When you get down into the clutch moments, and this is something the Saints have struggled with at times this year, they find a way to win. And that's part of the reason why. You've won four straight one-possession games.
Proven.
And yeah, no, I mean, a lot of people are taking the Saints to cover because it's like a 5.5-point spread up in Arrowhead. But that's part of the reason why. The Saints and Chiefs, a lot of people are expecting them to play a close game, but can the Saints be the one to finally pick up a close win? Their two wins are by blowout fashion. They didn't even have to worry about it. When you got into a tight game with Atlanta, and when you got into a tight game with Philadelphia, you fell a little bit short. Now, those are two different games, so we're moving on to week five. You're trying to end this losing skid. But if you get into a close game, it feels like Kansas City always has the edge, no matter who they're playing, when it's like a one score in the fourth quarter.
Well, you know, you also got the edge also with the referees, too. So the Saints got to be extra perfect this evening, if that's possible.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. Some things that jump off the page with, you know, the Chiefs, is that their offense, and this is something that we kind of talked about in the first hour, their offense is middle of the pack in a lot of different categories. But one thing that they're not middle of the pack in, and they're actually bottom of the pack in, and this could be a huge key for this game, is the turnover differential.
Right.
As we kind of mentioned, the
Saints,
very
surprising,
early on +3, which ranks fourth in the NFL. The Chiefs -4, 29th. That is a gigantic ocean-sized gap. So if you can, and Pat Mahomes hasn't taken care of the ball this year. I know everyone like lambasts people like Josh Allen, right, for his turnovers. Pat Mahomes has been very mediocre as far as turning the ball over this year. He's 6 touchdowns to 5 interceptions right now.
Right.
If you can force some turnovers, get yourself some extra possessions, that's how you kind of get this game close. And then once you get to the end, you got to make sure you close it out.
You look at a big problem, too, for this Kansas City team. Obviously, they've been decimated at the wide receiver position,
yes,
due to injury, but also even their running back situation's a mess.
Yeah, Isaiah Pacheco's out, and he's going to be out for basically, I think, the next 6 weeks at this point. So that is a huge piece for their offense.
There was hope that they'd get Clyde Edwards-Helaire back this week, but that's not the case.
And then you mentioned their wide receiver room. They've been without Hollywood Brown for the
right
entire season, but also Rashee Rice, who got injured against the Chargers because Pat Mahomes fell into him.
That's like, a terrible scenario.
He took out his own wide receiver one, which is super unlucky, but it's something that the Saints, now you don't have to deal with a stud receiver for the Chiefs, and you're not dealing with their top running back. You're looking at the Chiefs' weapons. I mean, you got Travis Kelce still there. And you have, you know, Xavier Worthy, the rookie speedster. But outside of that, who really kind of worries you with the Saints defense playing the way that it is?
Yeah, I'm not really quick to write off Travis Kelce as like some other folks
have. I'm not
have.
Necessarily either.
I know he's definitely, obviously, you get older, you start to decline a little bit. But I still think he's an elite tight end in this league. And obviously hasn't had the fast start a lot of people, especially fantasy
right
football folks,
oh, yeah,
may have liked. But he did kind of get going last week.
Yes, he did, with 7 catches against the Chargers. And I think that basically almost doubled his season total. The first 3 weeks were not kind to Travis Kelce, but he kind of got back on the horse, so to speak, in that week 4 victory, 17-10 over the Chargers. So, you know, you can't let him kind of gain confidence because people are saying that he's washed. I won't go that far. I think, you know, Jeff made a pretty good point. when we interviewed him last hour about, you know, Travis Kelce, maybe they're saving him for a later run. They're already 4-0. There's no real reason to risk him, like, getting injured or anything like that when you already have all these injuries to your wide receiver core. So Travis Kelce's an interesting piece. You can't let him beat you, and you can't let Xavier Worthy beat you. Like, if Juju Smith-Schuster and Justin Watson are the guys beating you in the passing attack, I mean, that's just that's a tough night. But those are the two weapons in the passing game for Pat Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs right now that worry you, because they are without Hollywood Brown and Rashee Rice.
Well, someone that's familiar with this atmosphere and setting tonight, Derek Carr, obviously spent a ton of years with the Raiders organization in Oakland and Las Vegas, so had two games a year against this Kansas City squad. So every year he was in Arrowhead, and he talked about the stadium, the atmosphere. Here's what Carr had to say this week about being back in KC.
I've always said, like, it's one of my favorite environments. The crowd is unbelievable. You know, it just it feels like that college atmosphere, you know, just diehard fans, super loud, you know, one of, if not the loudest stadium I've ever played in. And, you know, and they have a really good football team. So it's a fun environment to play in, very tough to execute and win in. But again, one of my favorite places to play. They'll say all kinds of crazy stuff about your family and you and all that, and it's all a part of it, especially to me, since I played there so many times. There's one guy that always says a lot of stuff to me. but we've had fun over the years, but you know, for sure one of the toughest places to play.
You think that one guy that Derek Carr is talking about knows who he is and is proud of himself?
No, that's pretty crazy. I mean, I guess the trash talk is definitely potent, but I promised the folks that I would get the stats about Derek Carr against the Chiefs. They're not good.
Oh.
Let's be flat out with it. Specifically the record. The numbers aren't the worst. They're still not great. But he played, you know, a lot of games against good Chiefs teams when he was on bad Raiders teams. So you have to keep that in mind. But the record in 17 games in his career against the Chiefs, Derek Carr is 3-14. It's not great. Now, the numbers tell a little bit of a different story.
Sure.
As far as passing yards, this is all via StatMuse, by the way. He's upwards of 4,200 yards. It's actually 4,120 yards. And then he has 26 touchdowns to 17 interceptions in those 17 games.
Okay.
A passer rating of 83. So it's not the worst in the world. The one thing is that, you know, the Chiefs have been really solid for a long time now. Like, they were even good before the Mahomes days when Alex Smith was kind of leading them a little bit. But as far as his success rate when he was with the Raiders against the Chiefs, just has not really been there. Now, you know, it's a different team, of course, with the Saints, and it's a different team, obviously, now with what the Chiefs are missing and what they've added in that time as well. But it's just kind of providing a little bit of, I guess, backstory that Derek Carr against the Chiefs in his career has not really found that much success.
More on Carr on this Kansas City squad. He's talked about the Chiefs' defense specifically.
Year after year, they create chaos. They create problems for the quarterback. The pressures, you have to have a pressure plan. You got to be ready for all the stuff Spags has in his system. I go back and I remember looking at stuff every year I've ever played him, you know, and just all the stuff that I know that he could potentially or possibly do. And, you know, so there's so much there. And he's, again, talk about an amazing person. I love him as a person. He knows that, but not this week. You know, he's definitely, for a quarterback, a challenge to go against, because he knows how to put his guys in good positions with their vision on the quarterback and things like that. So it's always a tough challenge, but it's always fun to go out and compete against the best. You know, they're the champs, and, you know, what opportunity for our team to go, you know, see what we got.
The old, to be the best, you got to beat the best. That's the Saints tonight. They are going against the best.
It's really funny. I think I was looking this up when we were kind of previewing the Super Bowl this past year. Steve Spagnuolo, his career trajectory as far as being a DC has been so funny to follow, because he's either absolutely terrible in a spot or fantastic. And obviously it's been
working in KC, right?
He was awful in New Orleans, but he's got it working and he's got it rolling in Kansas City. And as we mentioned as well, Steve, man, they got a superstar on that defensive line with Chris Jones, talking about, you know, how they can get after the quarterback. Chris Jones has 3 sacks, but the one thing, 19 quarterback pressures this year for the star interior defensive tackle.
Pressure breaks pipes, as they say, too.
And Deuce, kind of like as I mentioned, Deuce, when he was talking about Chris Jones and how he lines up on the defensive line, you know, he's not just a defensive tackle. They play a 4-3, but he can line up in different spots on the defensive line. He can even get put out on the edge he's like, as Deuce has mentioned, he's kind of hunting the mismatch. He's going to look for where the weak link is on the offensive line, or how they're kind of playing pass pro and how they're kind of setting up. And Chris Jones is going to hunt that and try and get after the quarterback. And I mean, he's been excellent at doing it. He's the reigning AFC Defensive Player of the Week. So he's been fantastic for them for a long time. And he's definitely kind of the guy that scares you on that defense the most. But they have other really good pieces too. Like, they move on from L'Jarius Sneed in the offseason, who goes to Tennessee. But then they also have guys like Trent McDuffie and George Karlaftis, guys that they used first round picks on that have worked out and kind of hit. And Spagnuolo has been kind of the maestro of it all, so to speak.
You mentioned Chris Jones, obviously the biggest threat on that D. Derek Carr talked about identifying where this guy is lined up constantly an issue.
It's a challenge, you know, and Spags knows that. You know, he knows where to, you know, make it hard on the system, or make it hard on your team, or personnel, or whatever. And you know, when you have a player like that, you know, just like, you know, you think of how they move Micah Parsons around. We talked about that. You know, he plays everywhere. And how can you create challenges? This game's all about, you know, creating challenges for the other side. You know, how do we create a mismatch? How do we create an advantage for us? And when you have a guy like Chris, you know, you can move him on the front and, you know, do different things for not just in the pass game, but in the run game. And, you know, the things he's able to do and create problems for an offense, it's a big challenge.
You heard Derek Carr there mention a guy like Micah Parsons, who the Saints were able to neutralize in that game against Dallas. Hopefully they can do some of the same against Chris Jones today, but definitely a different beast here, because just a guy that pretty much picks where he's going to line up after surveying the defense. He overlooks it and then lines up, you know, finding that matchup that he wants to go up against.
So here's the issue with the Micah Parsons thing, because what they did against Parsons, Parsons even talked about the game plan that they set up against the Cowboys defense was so excellent, they ran directly at him.
Right.
And they kind of, he described it as like he was caught in a maze, like he was stuck in a maze trying to figure out how to get to the quarterback. And so all credit in the world to the Saints coaching staff for that game plan. The issue with Chris Jones is he's, you know, a little bit of a different player, obviously. He's still a great pass rusher. And Jeff had mentioned that he's not, he doesn't want to stop the run. He is very capable against the run. And, you know, different Chiefs reporters have told us that, too. He is a complete defensive lineman. He will get after the passer when he needs to, but he'll also stop the run to kind of set up those, you know, obvious passing downs where he can get after the passer, which he obviously loves to do.
We're here at 701 Barone Street, the Rouse's Market in the CBD. Everybody getting their stuff for Monday Night Football, whether it's pre-made meals, anything you want to get cooking at home for the special matchup against those Chiefs. You're making a little barbecue maybe in your backyard. Also some spirits, wine, beer, everything you want here at the Rouse's Market you get for game day. We're here on First Take, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. We're going to take a break, come back with more audio when we get right back here on WWL Saints Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're at the Rouse's Market at 701 Barone Street in the CBD. First Take, lead. leading into the Bud Light Countdown, the kickoff coming up at the Cajun Cannon at 5 o'clock. Want to remind everybody, Seaside Cruises, the New Orleans Saints partner with Seaside Events to provide the Saints Nation with the ultimate fan experience. Mingle with Saints Legends during the inaugural Saints Legends Fans Crew. Make sure you check that out. Charlie, getting into more of our audio. Very interesting fellow. We talked a little bit about this with Jeff Nowak, our sideline reporter, in the earlier segment. Connor McGovern.
Yep.
The Saints had to bring in an offensive lineman because the numbers are thin right now.
Boy. Yeah.
And the story with him, you know, is simply amazing. The guy was literally on his way getting ready to go to London with the New York Jets, and then the Saints snag him off the practice squad and bring him into the active roster.
And it's a big one, too. Connor McGovern's played over 90 games, started over 90 games. He's actually played over 100 games in his NFL career. He's a veteran. He's been there, done that. But the one thing, obviously, as we've mentioned, with the Saints' banged-up interior offensive line, no Cesar Ruiz, yep. no Eric McCoy, yep. and now today, Shane Lemieux getting put on the IR. Like, you're
Bing,
down
bang,
your starting
boom.
Center, you're
man.
Down your backup center. So you go out.
We already lost Ramchek, too, earlier in the year. So it's like, man, we're hurting at O-line.
Yeah, your depth is going to be tested 100%. But going out and getting someone like McGovern, who, as Jeff had mentioned, as we've talked about as well, is familiar with the coaching staff, familiar with Kubiak, familiar with, obviously, John Benton, the offensive line coach, you know, Rico Dennison, the senior offensive assistant and run game coordinator. So, you know, it's not like it's brand new to him that he's being thrown into the fire necessarily, even though he is a veteran. He's kind of – he recognizes, you know, what they want to do. A lot of the terminology is the same. So, it's a big pickup for a team that's desperately in need of help of interior offensive line.
You mentioned those J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets. McGovern played 7 games for them last season before he dislocated his knee. Ended up, you know, working his way back from that. Talked about even contemplating should he retire. But McGovern talked about the process of getting back on the field from that injury.
A lot of working out. You know, when I got hurt, I wasn't sure. You know, I was contemplating if I was going to retire or not. I wanted to heal up the best I could. Treat it like I was coming back. That's the best way to heal. My knee's been feeling great. Didn't have the offers I was looking for prior to camp. And then once season started, my knee felt really good and I was ready to roll. So now we're here.
You mentioned, obviously, McGovern having some familiarity with the Saints coaching staff, and he was asked about how much is a benefit for him at least having some kind of familiarity there.
It's huge. I was with JB for 2 years, so I had the O-line. That's an easy slide in with call-wise. And then I was, with Coach Kubiak and his dad and Rico and Clancy and all those guys back in Denver when I was a rookie, actually. So I've been having to pull deep from the memory bank on a couple of things. Luckily, with a lot of the JB stuff, it's still pretty fresh. So, the transition would be much harder if I didn't have that familiarity. And that makes it a lot easier. And I really enjoyed my time getting back with, you know, some of my favorite coaches I've been with my NFL career.
You heard McGovern there also talk about, you know, testing those memory banks, going back in there to see what he can recall from past playbooks, and how comfortable is he with the Saints right now?
Yep. Yeah, I've been in a West Coast system for like 7 of my 9 years. So it's, you know, obviously little terminology is different here and there between the different West Coast trees and everything, but for the most part, it's been an easy transition. There's definitely some vocabulary I got to learn, but it's like old school learning vocab. You just do like the flashcards. So
you mentioned they're having flashcards. I could see, you know, him going through his cards at night like a young man.
Yeah.
You know, studying for the big test the next day.
It's his homework, getting ready. But I mean, it's why it makes sense to go scoop someone like him up, because as we mentioned, all the injuries up front, like you have to have someone that could potentially be forced to plug and play. And with Lemieux going on the IR, he's going to be forced to plug and play. But from everything that we've heard about, you know, how comfortable he feels in this offense and just the general playbook, like, yes, he's probably looking at those flashcards, making sure he's getting all the call-outs correctly. The center spot is so important. And Mike has emphasized this a bunch. It's like maybe the second most important position on offense besides the quarterback. So he's going to play a huge role in this game.
Yeah, Connor McGovern, 31 years old, a fifth-round pick in 2016 out of Missouri, went to the Denver Broncos, spent time with the Jets. Now with the New Orleans Saints, heading into a big matchup on Monday Night Football in a definitely, like you mentioned, plug-and-play scenario where this team just signed him this week.
Yep.
And a corresponding move, too, kind of interesting. We'll get onto this a little. They ended up releasing, you know, A.T. Perry.
Yeah.
Kind of a disappointing ending for a wide receiver. There were so many, you know, high hopes for that they had gotten on in the late round of the draft.
I'll just reemphasize what Deuce had kind of said when he was asked about AT. It's just you got to treat it like a job when you're early on in your career and you haven't really proven anything. A former sixth-round pick, someone that flashed it, you know, in live game action during the preseason and even at the end of the regular season last year too. But when it came down to practice, that's what we kept hearing from DA every time that he was asked about him. He's just like, he's not showing enough consistency at practice for us to really give him those live game snaps. He hasn't really seen the field much, which has been a major disappointment, because entering the year, you were hoping this guy would be, you know, kind of take the wide receiver three role, where you know you have Olave, you know you have Rashid as your defined top two guys. But he wasn't even seeing the field, Steve.
And no, and he was known, too, as, oh, he's going to be that contested catch guy.
Well, yeah, because he's got the big body to do it. But at the same time, if the coaching staff didn't trust him enough to put him on the field, then, I mean, what can you really do?
No, it was a disappointing ending for A.T. Perry. We'll see where he ends up. Maybe a new change of scenery can help for him. But I thought things were going along fairly well here in New Orleans, but unfortunately could not get on the field. And makes you wonder what will be next for him, because, like I said, I think he's a talented, big body guy, but just definitely needs to get, I guess, more disciplined in his regimen and what he needs to get ready as a pro.
I agree. And so you make that move corresponding by going out and signing McGovern from the Jets practice squad, and obviously it's a needed pickup given all the injuries you got up front.
Yeah, you mentioned with all those injuries, and it's going to be tough facing that guy, Chris Jones, on the other side of that defense for the Kansas City Chiefs. He's been talked about a bunch. Everybody, I'm sure you'll be hearing in pregame talking about this guy, too. Well, Connor McGovern's been on the block for a little bit, knows this guy. What does he think makes Chris Jones such a threat?
He's so dynamic. For a guy to be that big and that quick, he has that natural ability that I think all great D-linemen have of feeling, you know, if you could only be tilted or leaning just one way, just the, you know, half a pound of pressure, but he feels that and he takes advantage of it, just like all really, really good defensive linemen do. And so, yeah, he's got it all.
Yeah, and McGovern's got a, you know, big test, obviously, going against this Chiefs defense. They've been more potent than that Kansas City offense
yes.
to start the year, but that's also, Charlie, very scary, obviously. We mentioned, I think, Travis Kelce, far from being quote-unquote washed,
yeah.
and Patrick Mahomes struggling this season with 6 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. That just worries me even more, too, even though I know he is lacking those offensive weapons right now.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, he's a magic man. So
exactly,
at
yeah.
any point, he can turn, like I said, Justin Watson or Juju Smith-Schuster into, you know, wide receiver ones if he has to. That's just kind of how he makes the guys around him better. Now, the one thing going back to the defense with, you know, the Saints offensive line versus the Chiefs defensive line, one thing that stands out to me, both of these teams have really good run defenses.
Right.
Like, that's something we haven't really mentioned yet so far. As far as the Chiefs, they rank 8th in the NFL with 99 yards per game allowed on the ground. The Saints are 7th, so, you know, right back and forth. Saints give up 96.5. So not only do I think the Saints have the advantage as far as the secondary versus the Chiefs' weapons because, you know, Hollywood Brown is out, you know, Rashid Rice is out, you have Xavier Worthy, Travis Kelce, Justin Watson, Juju Smith-Schuster, that's who he's going to be throwing to, Mahomes, obviously. But at the same time, the rushing attack for the Chiefs without Isaiah Pacheco, who's the back that scares you there, the Saints' run defense has been pretty solid this year. So you feel like you have a couple of advantages there. At the same time, the Saints' rushing offense versus the Chiefs' rushing defense is the key. And without Taysom Hill, that's obviously a big hit to what you want to do on the ground.
For sure.
But when you're averaging close to 150 yards per game on the ground so far this year, which is 7th in the NFL, and you're going against an elite rushing defense in the Chiefs, which ranks 8th, allowing 99, that's kind of strength versus strength. And I know, once again, no Taysom Hill's involved, but at the same time, when you have Alvin there and potentially Jamal getting some carries, we'll see what happens.
It's crazy to say, but right now the Saints have more weapons than this Kansas City Chiefs team because of who is healthy.
Yeah, exactly. The injuries play a huge role in that. When the Chiefs are fully healthy, Rashee Rice is a very underrated receiver, but his quarterback took him out against the Chargers when he kind of rolled into his knees. So, yeah, I would agree. And I think the Saints defense – does have the capability to slow down this Chiefs offense because, as you mentioned, of the injuries.
Yeah.
It's a matter of, you know, can Derek Carr and the Saints offense be able to match up against this really, really strong Chiefs defense so far?
What is definitely key is the run game for the Chiefs. You're just talking about really lacking right now with no Pacheco. Obviously, Kareem Hunt, Samaje Perine, and Carsten Steele. That's who you're looking at as your running back trio for this Chiefs squad right now. Nobody is scaring you here. Obviously, you got to play still solid run defense here. This is the NFL, but there's not that Saquon. There's not that Bijan that's scaring you in this matchup.
Absolutely not. And I think that one of the Chiefs reporters we talked to from the Chiefs radio network this past week, it basically said, like, Carsten Steele, you can kind of pencil him out because he's got fumble issues. And when you have fumble issues, Andy Reid's going to sit you on the bench, and you're not going to get many carries. Kareem Hunt, I think they went and scooped him up, like, last week, like maybe a week and a half ago. You know, once it came out that Pacheco was going to miss 6 to 8 weeks, they go and get someone that's kind of familiar with this system. You kind of seeing the similarities here with going out and scooping up someone like Kareem Hunt versus the Saints going out and getting someone like McGovern. At the same time, as you mentioned, Steve, no one on that running back room really terrifies you like a Saquon or like a Bijan or the top running backs in the league. So it's going to be fun to see, like, the Saints defense versus the Chiefs offense. I think there are some advantages that the Saints have. It's probably going to be a lower scoring game if I had to kind of project just based off of that. And then also the Chiefs defense being the reason they've won so many games this year. How the Saints offense matches up against them.
It definitely feels like a lower scoring matchup. Obviously, when you have two of the top tier defenses in the NFL right now, and obviously on the Saints side of things, the offensive line's being banged up. The Chiefs side of things, just a whole bunch of their offensive weapons not involved in this game. Definitely, though, scary when you got Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes still. What we're going to do is take a break. When we get back, we're going to hear what our Saints sideline reporter, Jeff Nowak, said with defensive tackle Colin Saunders in this matchup against the Kansas City Chiefs, a team he knows well from playing there for a while. So when we get back, we'll hear from Jeff with Colin Saunders right here on First Take here on WWL, the Rasmus Market on Barone Street. Who dat? Welcome back into a special edition of WWL's First Take, brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day, stock up on Bud Light. We are broadcasting from the Rasmus Market, 701 Barone Street in the CBD. Want to remind folks that Venture Global is donating $10 per Saints receiving yard to their Catch for the Coast program. Venture Global, innovating to provide low-cost LNG to the world. Current donations, $8,240 for the season. We'll keep tabs on that and update you at the end of the game on the Ciroc Point After with the final total after Week 5. Getting ready for Monday Night Football, the Kansas City Chiefs hosting the Saints. Defensive tackle Colin Saunders spent a couple years in Kansas City and caught up with our sideline reporter Jeff Nowak on what it's like playing the Chiefs and also facing off against a guy like Chris Jones. Here it is.
With Chris, he moves around a lot. Mm-hmm. And how much of that is called versus how much of that is...
He does that on his own.
Yeah, how does that work?
He gets the call, knows what each person does in that call, and then he goes to where he wants to go to in that play. So, you know, if the three tech has something less desirable than the end, he's going to go to end. If the three tech has something... You know, like, three tech got something where it's like, all right, you get the one-on-one, he's probably going to go to the three tech. But, you know, it's just kind of knowing the play, knowing what they have on that play, and then going to what, you know, he wants to do for that play.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. It's like, even when the play is called, he doesn't even know necessarily until he sees the situation.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not something that happens very often. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that just because he's so talented?
Yeah, I mean, he's a special player. I mean, he's going to be a Hall of Famer when he gets done with this. And so, you know, Spags kind of – and then you got to realize, too, that relationship. I mean, Spags got there the year I got there, I believe, in 2019, and now it's 2024. So they've been, you know, bonding through the same defense for 5 or 6 years, whatever now. And they, you know, like, now they have the trust into, okay, I know this is where this play is going, this is where we got to stunt to, then I would rather do this. Like, if I was a three – I would have to contain, but since I know the, you know, it's that trust of knowing the defense well enough to be like, well, I know that the three has contained right here, so I want to go to the end so I can go into the defense instead of, you know, looping out to contain. So it just comes with that, like, knowing the defense, knowing it well. Like, I knew the defense really well, obviously, and then I felt like that contributed to, you know, my best year before I left there. So it's just kind of knowing that defense and getting a chance to work in it instead of just playing in it. You know what I mean?
Were there ever times where it was like, hey, no, I want this matchup?
You know, yeah. No, he always takes precedent for sure. he gets first dibs, absolutely. But, yeah. You know, usually it's – but also, you know, just – and me when I was on there, but also, like, the guys that are still on there, like Nadi and Mike Pinnell, like, those are very close friends of mine. Turk Warden – Turk actually plays free tech, I think, behind him and then rushdowns. Then Mike Pinnell and Nadi are more of the base down guys. But yeah, they, you know, their play styles complementary because Chris is the three tech, and then you got Nadi and Mike are the noses, and they're true noses. So, you know, they play so well with each other because of that, because they, you know, they're complementary to each other.
Gotcha. Cool. I mean, you must be kind of said it. That must be exciting for this to be the Monday night game.
Yeah, yeah. Like, literally a prime time game, and that's just. Can't wait, man. I can't wait. I want to see how it's going to get out there. Should get some love, though, but I ain't worried about that. I'm worried about getting some stats, getting some sacks.
Are you and Tyron going to have a competition to see who gets the loudest?
Like, no, it'll be me.
Yeah.
It'll be me, yeah. For sure.
That was Saints defensive tackle Colin Saunders. Spent a bunch of years, 2019 draft pick of the Kansas City Chiefs. Now been in black and gold the past two seasons. We're going to wrap up First Take after this break. Coming back with more right here on WWL. Closing out this special edition of First Take, we are brought to you by Bud Light. Saints game day. Stock up on Bud Light. Broadcasting from the Rouse's Market at 701 Barone in the CBD. And that's where the Cajun Cannon has just arrived for the Bud Light countdown to kickoff. Coming up right after this at 5 o'clock. Want to remind everybody to First Take, brought to you by Caesar Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the Saints. Looking at this black and gold line going into this game, 5.5-point underdogs for this Monday night matchup in Kansas City. We'll see how the Saints end up faring. Coming up, a 7:15 kickoff on WW on the Odyssey app. Coming up next, though, Bud Light countdown to kickoff. So stay tuned right here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network. Who dat?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.